the secret of a godly life, of you pursuing the life to which God has called you, the life for which he has made you, it doesn't lie in some technique, doesn't lie in some program or even in some set of disciplines. God has revealed this secret that a godly life is possible for you through Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and today we're continuing a message, The Open Secret of a Godly Life. And for the person who has not found what they've been looking for in this life, Colin, today is a great day to be listening.
Yes, we're really focusing in on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so important because I've met an awful lot of people, Steve, who have really tried to be different. And they've thought that the secret lies in doing something or joining something. And they've been told, now, if you do this and you practice that and whatever, then you're going to become a more godly kind of person. And somehow it doesn't work. And they're left with a sense of, how can I really change? How can I become the person that God's calling me to be? And here we're reading in the scripture that great is the mystery of godliness. That's the mystery, the question, how do I become a godly person? And then it says he was manifested in the flesh. In other words, it's telling us Jesus Christ himself is the key here. And this is why the New Testament says it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. It's actually the Lord Jesus Christ's presence, his life being lived out in you, that's going to be the means by which you change. Remember, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's his life in you. Now, that's what we're looking at today. That's very different from learning some kind of technique or some set of disciplines or, you know, engaging in some kind of program. The life of Jesus can be in you. And if the life of Jesus is in you, then you will be a different person. And that's the wonderful truth that's at the heart of the gospel.
Well, that's what we're looking at today from the book of 1 Timothy. We're in chapter 3, so grab a Bible and join us there as we continue the message, The Open Secret of a Godly Life. Here is Pastor Colin.
The word mystery is used more than 20 times in the New Testament. We read about the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God's will, the mystery of the Jews, the mystery of the Gentiles, the mystery of the church, the mystery of the resurrection, the mystery of the gospel. Right here in this one chapter, there are two occurrences of the word. You may notice in verse 9, the apostle speaks about the mystery of the faith. And then in our verse 16, the mystery of godliness. Now, in each of these cases, the word mystery has a very distinct meaning. Let me give it to you like this. A mystery in the New Testament is a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. In the New Testament, a mystery, it's not a riddle that leaves you scratching your head. It is a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. Now, this is repeated many times. For example, in Romans and chapter 16, Paul speaks about the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed. You see, it's a secret that God has revealed. We wouldn't have known what this mystery is unless God had revealed it, but he has revealed it. It is a secret that God has revealed. Or Colossians in chapter 1, you have the same thing. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. So it's a secret that was hidden for ages and for generations, but now, mystery, what does it mean? It's a secret that God has revealed. Let's apply that, for example, to the mystery of the resurrection. Many of you know this verse well. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. In other words, a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Now you stand by the graveside of a loved one, and it all seems so bleak and so final. No one would guess from standing at a graveside as the casket is lowered that a bright morning is coming when your believing loved one will rise to a new and an everlasting life. But God has revealed it. And you know, God could have kept it secret. He could have kept it to himself so that on the last day, we who believed in him discovered that the greatest part is yet to be. But he has not kept it secret. Why? Because he wants you now to have the comfort of this hope in your sorrow. God reveals the secret and he says, now comfort one another with these words. So a mystery is something we could never have worked out ourselves. We've never have guessed it if we were left to our own intuition. It's a secret that God has revealed. But remember, there's a second part to the definition. Its full wonder is still to be made known. Now think about that in relation to the resurrection. God has revealed this secret. Oh, but its full wonder is still to be made known. What will your resurrection body be like? What joy will be yours when your whole soul is at peace and your whole body is made whole and you are at one and the likeness of Jesus Christ is fully reflected in you? What wonder will that be? The full wonder of it is yet to be made known, but for our comfort, God has revealed to us the secret that the resurrection day is coming. So that's a mystery. That's what it means in the New Testament. It is a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. Now, let's come back to our verse. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. So what then is this secret of godliness, the secret of you living the life that God has called you to and made you for? What is the secret that God has revealed, the full wonder of which is still to be made known? And the answer to that is Jesus. Jesus. Notice the verse. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. What's the next word? He. He. And then follow six marvelous statements about the Lord Jesus Christ. God has revealed this secret that a godly life is possible for you through Jesus Christ. In other words, the secret of a godly life, of you pursuing the life to which God has called you, the life for which he has made you, it doesn't lie in some technique. It doesn't lie in some program or even in some set of disciplines. The open secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known, is that through Jesus Christ, you can become the person God called you to be, the person God created you to be. Through Jesus Christ, you can become God's man. You can become God's woman. Through Jesus Christ, you can pursue a godly life. And here's how. First, we must receive Jesus. This is the real question. Jesus is the godly one, God in the flesh, supremely God's man. How can the godliness that is self-evidently in Jesus actually be in you? And the answer to that question throughout the Bible is that we must receive Jesus. The answer, by the way, is not simply we must follow the example of Jesus. See, if the path to a genuinely godly life was simply Jesus is the example and you've got to follow the example, there would be no mystery in that, would there? There's no mystery there. Here's the example. He did it, you do it. Where's the mystery in that? Now, what Paul is saying here is, no, God has something better than simply you making your best effort to copy the perfect life of Jesus. It's not going to get you very far. God has something better, and this is the heart of the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me put it to you in the words that Paul uses in Colossians in chapter 1, where he spells it out. The mystery, he says there, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints, is what? Christ in you. The hope of glory. You see what he's saying? This great mystery, and it is a mystery, the full wonder of it is yet to be revealed, that Jesus Christ, the godly one, would actually be in you. And his life, the godly life being in you, is the secret that God has revealed by which you may grow in the path of godliness, as his life is in you. Or to put it another way, in Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul says basically the same thing. I have been crucified with Christ, he says. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Do you see that this is way more than, you know, I'm doing my best to follow the example of Jesus? No, the life of Jesus is in me. I've received Jesus Christ. Or to put it in the wonderful analogy that our Lord Jesus himself uses, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And you see what that's conveying? This is a different world from, you know, you try and copy my example. Here's what I've done. You do the same. No, he's saying, look, the life is in me. I'm the vine. And when you are in me and I am in you, my life actually permeates your life so that that which is in me will come to be in you. That's the very heart of how the Christian life is lived. In other words, there is no hope of godliness without Jesus Christ. But when the life of Jesus Christ is in you, a godly life will be possible for you. Therefore, we must receive Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? We do that by believing in his name. This is the point that the Apostle John makes very clear right at the beginning of his gospel, where he introduces the Lord Jesus Christ to us. He says this, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to as many as did receive him, and then he explains what he means by that. What does it mean to receive Jesus? He says this, to those who believed in his name. So by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive him. That is, his life comes to be in you. The life of the godly one comes to you so that thereby through him, this is what God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. You will be able to pursue a new and a godly life.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called The Open Secret of Godly Life. Now, we're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to this message in just a moment. You know, if you're taking on a leadership role in any Christian ministry, it's not easy. Whether you're leading a small group, teaching a Sunday school class, serving as a missionary, establishing deep roots in God's Word, it is essential if you're going to do any of those things. And so we've put together a section of our website called Open the Bible for Leaders. It's some great free online video-based training to equip you with all sorts of leadership skills and a biblical foundation, some practical, actionable guidance for establishing a fruitful gospel ministry. You can find out more about this when you come to our website, openthebible.org, and click on Open the Bible for Leaders. Well, let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
So we must receive Jesus. Second, we must hope in Jesus. Now, this is the point maybe where someone will be saying, well, wait a minute, Colin, I am a believer. I have received the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't feel very godly. I feel I've got such a long way to go. And I want to say to you very simply that there is way more in Jesus Christ than you or any of the rest of us here have yet discovered. Way more in Jesus Christ than you have yet discovered. Remember the definition of a mystery, a secret God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. Receiving Jesus is a little bit like opening a gift, but only knowing a small part of what it can do. My mother will reach the age of 90 next month. She has not been particularly drawn over the last 20 or 30 years to the developing world of technology. But last year she said to me, "I think I'd like to have an iPad." And I said, "Mom, that's great. Why do you want to have an iPad?" And she said, "I'd like to be able to do email." And so when the iPad was bought, she did a marvelous job of adapting to it and getting used to it and doing email. It took a little bit of a while to get used to it. It was a very good typist, you know, doing it with the 2-inch depress on the old keyboard, and to get used to the glass was a little bit different. But she adapted to it wonderfully well. Once she got the hang of that, I said to her, "You know, Mom, that iPad can do a lot more than send and receive email. For example, you could see pictures of your great-grandchildren as their mums and dad put them up." And she discovered the whole world of pictures instantly being available in our little family circle that we have going online, and was absolutely thrilled. Well, what's happened since is that each time I go, we find out something else on the iPad. "Mom, do you know that you can actually hear Moody Radio on the iPad? You know, it'll be 6 hours different, but you can actually hear it right here. What is held in Chicago?" Really? But the best one was last time, and what a blessing this is proving to be. "Mom, did you know that you can order your groceries on the iPad and have them delivered to your front door every week?" And oh boy, she got the hang of that. That has been a life changer. Now, I hesitate to use any kind of illustration to speak of the glories of Jesus, but I want you to see this and feel it. That there's more in Jesus Christ than any one of us has yet discovered. The full wonder of Jesus Christ is still to be made known. There's more peace for you to enjoy in him than you have yet enjoyed, more hope for you to discover, more love for you to experience, more comfort for you to savor, more joy. John speaks about this. He says to believers, "We are now God's children, but what we will be has not yet been made known. But we do know this, that when he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is." God has begun a good work in you. You may feel a long way from godliness, but the work that he has begun, he will bring to completion, and there will forever and forever be a perfect reflection of the beauty and the godliness of Jesus Christ in you by his grace. And how great will be your joy when that work that he has already begun in you is brought to completion. And so we are not only to receive Jesus, but receiving Jesus by believing in his name. We are to hope in him. We are to know that there is more of him, more grace in him that we are yet to discover, and that there is more that he will accomplish than we have yet dared to dream. And then lastly, we are to confess Christ. "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness." The great task given to the church, the great privilege that we have together and individually is that we confess Jesus Christ. We confess him manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. And great is this mystery of all that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and all that is in him is the greatest good news that this world has ever heard, and it is trusted to us who confess his name. We are to receive him. We are to hope in him. We are to confess him. And we do so with joy for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that this Christmas season may not pass with simple busyness, but that it may be a season in which, in a fresh way, we catch a glimpse of the greatness and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and seeing his greatness and glory come to be changed increasingly into his likeness. Bring us to a place where we love you more, that we may serve you better in anticipation of the day when the full wonder of all that is ours in Jesus Christ is disclosed, and we shall rejoice in you and with you forever and forever. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Colin. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message today is called The Open Secret of Godly Life. It's part of a larger series we're simply calling Jesus. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you're podcasting the program. That's a great way to make sure you don't miss a future broadcast. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. We have both our daily and weekly radio program on there, as well as our daily devotional that you can both read and listen to, a plan for reading through the Bible in a year, and tools and resources to help you grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word. If you don't have the app yet, I'd encourage you to get that. You're going to find it at your favorite app store. Simply look for Open the Bible, or we'll link you to the app and the podcast through our website. That's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station because of your generosity. We truly are listener-supported. But as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's 24-day Advent devotional. Colin, is called Waiting for the Lord, based on Isaiah chapter 40, right?
This is one of the most marvelous chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Of course, the title, Waiting for the Lord, comes from the end of this chapter, where we have the marvelous promise that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But this great chapter begins with something very wonderful. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. That has really caught me. Speak tenderly. You know, we live in a harsh world with harsh words. And as God's people, we need to learn to speak tenderly to one another. And God speaks tenderly to us in the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's good news of his marvelous grace and of his free forgiveness. And you know, as we prepare ourselves again for Christmas and for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus on the gospel and on the tenderness of God towards us, there's something nourishing to the soul about that. So this is a chapter of the Bible that I just want to kind of bathe in preparation for Christmas. I found it so nourishing to my own life. And this little devotional, I hope, is going to be really nourishing for you too.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this devotional book, Waiting for the Lord, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online. Our website is openthebible.org, or call us toll-free at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. You can become a more godly person through the Christmas story. Find out how next time on Open the Bible.